I want to say, like I said, my business is McGurven called, and maybe not the grand jury. I don't think it's from the hot situation.
He did a damn good job.
He gets over. It's mine, I mean, it's testing, it's gonna get that off. What happens? What's the situation on that contribution? Was that before, after the 10th, the 7th? What is the situation? That's the only thing that you've done.
The contribution was made before from.
Right.
Andreas Dahlberg.
Yeah, yeah.
But Dahlberg didn't go to the bank. It was a cash contribution.
Yeah.
Dahlberg didn't go to the bank until after the 7th. He went to the bank, converted to a cashier's check, and then gave the check to Stans on the 10th.
Yeah, so.
There is a technical question. Dahlberg is a finance chairman. And the technical question is, does delivery to him constitute making the contribution?
Or is it not making it there? Oh, I see. So what's going to happen there? Argue about it. Yeah.
I think we can work it out. Now, one thought.
Yeah.
Just one thought as well.
You ought to hit it two different ways. One, to Travis and as a result of the long term. And two, of course, Vietnam is virtually ended as far as we're concerned. But there are no draftees to Vietnam. And that's done. And you hit both of those points.
Very, very good. Well, the lottery, too, is something that we've already achieved.
Sure. as far as the American people are concerned, they'd say, well, gee, these comments are all better. Nobody knows that better than I do. Nobody knows these people better than I do. And nobody has less confidence in what they are trying to do for us and will try to do for us if we ever even know them, if we become weak, or if we become not worth talking to. But looking at China and Russia, and of course this game is so sophisticated and so subtle that I wouldn't try to explain it too much. But looking at China and Russia, it's all part. You couldn't do one without the other. The China trip is directly related to the Russian initiative, and the Russian initiative is related to the China initiative. So you have to understand. But the most important thing is that looking at the Pacific, and three wars have started in the Pacific. World War II started there for us. Korea started there for us. Vietnam started there for us. What have we done? We have defused the possibility of another war coming from the Pacific by dealing directly with China and with 800 million people, soon to be a billion people in China. And we've also done it by maintaining a delicate balance with Japan. Very important to have that in mind. This is hard to do. This is done with bears. It's done by a lot of hard work, a lot of experience, a tough minded attitude. Now you look at the Russians. What have we done there? Without giving it a thing on principle, we didn't give it to the Chinese in principle. And what we have done there is, for the first time in the field of our arms control, we have really done something about limiting arms. See, the test ban mean anything. I mean, you can have a test ban. What's a test ban mean? You can test underground. So it's fine, but we're not going to have to test up in polluted air and so forth, which of course is no wise tale. Anyway, but the main point is that now, for the first time, we have made a beginning in limiting arms. We have a total limit on defensive nuclear weapons. We have the beginning of a limit on offensive nuclear weapons. But here's the important thing. We are now going to go after the Congress approves the offensive limitation, having already approved yesterday the defensive limitation. We go to phase two. Talk about phase two. Who do you want dealing with the Russians, with Russia, and now negotiating a limitation on all offensive weapons with the Russians, which could guarantee peace in the world for a long time to come, but which also will reduce the burden of arms invention. Do you want? I compare the two men. Do you want this fellow to go over there? Why? They take him in two bites. I mean, it must be so simple. I mean, not because he's a bad man, but because really, you can't be naive if you deal with these people. I and it isn't your duty to chapter and verse of our conversations with the freshman. David Pound and the rest, but it's cold steel. That's the way it works. Now the main point is we have to continue what we've begun. And that means continuing this great initiative with the Chinese so that we will have negotiation and more communication so that the world, the young people grow up in, as I use the term, will be an open world. I'd like to have a lot of young people go to China. It's a marvelous experience. See, you won't like the system, but you will like the people. And that has never been possible before. And so here's the whole great Pacific area, which California has particularly to understand, Washington, Oregon, and the rest. Here it is. We changed the name. And it was never going to, and we have to continue to change it because it isn't mean it's changed and now anybody can do it. This is a constant problem of nursing it along, playing one not against the other, balancing one with the other. And with the Russians, we're moving on trade, we're moving on cooperation and together, and we're in Russia. You see, up to the time, the very subtle changes occurred with the Russians. Before we met at the summit, the United States, even started in Eisenhower's period, already had a program with the Russians of exchange. But it was at arm's length. We could exchange information on space. We could exchange information on science. We could exchange information on medicine. But then their science and our science, their doctors and our doctors, their spacemen and our spacemen, worked independently. What we have done, and this is the great change that has occurred in the summer, we have now at the beginning Russian scientists and American scientists working together, Russian doctors and American doctors working together to find the answer to cancer. A Russian scientist, spacemen, and American spacemen, here's the most graphic one, going together have got to find out what this administration done, what we have done, because we understand without compromising our principles, they haven't concentrated there, without making the world totally safe, it will never be totally safe for us. And when probably even more dangerous with women.
All of that. Two places in the world where you've had the most trouble in space in the world.
Women in the Middle East, one in South Asia.
Nevertheless, you come down to this point. You see, you could say that we have these great initiatives have changed the world. And they've changed it not so much for the benefit of the older generation. I mean, we really didn't have to do it because we could have gotten along for 10 more years without everything. But looking ahead at the end of the century, we live in an entirely new world where Chinese and Americans may work together. Not always agree, but we're together, at least not fighting each other. And where Russians and Americans work together, and where eventually we get this terrible danger, which of course frightens everybody, particularly younger people who study it. The danger of a nuclear disaster, get it under some kind of control. Because if the Russians and the Americans work together, they have the power to, of course, keep it from the ultimate tomorrow. But we've only begun. You see, you must point out that, gee, isn't it great? We've now had the opening to China, so it's all done. Anybody else can carry it. You can't say, particularly with regard to the Russians, gee, we now have arms control. We don't. It's only the beginning. We've limited off defensive weapons. But the weapons that each of the two great powers has in its arsenals today would destroy civilization. So what we have to do now is to move from the limited offensive weapons to a new offensive agreement which covers other weapons as well, and then eventually to offensive limitations, in other words, offensive reductions in weapons. And it's only then that the world becomes safer. Of course, the rules about their use, all that. All of this, of course, will make the world safer. So what we really come down to is that when we came in, we had a war. When we came in, we had a situation of no dialogue at all with China. When we came in, we had a situation of what appeared to be an inevitable arms race, continuation with the Russians, and no possibility of progress and cooperation. And now, after 4 years, sure, we haven't ended the war, but we are ending it in a way not destroy the ability of the United States, well, at least respect the United States' needs in the Middle East, for example, in Europe and in other countries, among its allies, who, if they feel that the United States can't be trusted, will desert us like them. But more important, in terms of the longer haul, the world will never be the same, and it'll be better, some better. Don't overstate it, some better, because of the initiative toward the Chinese, the initiative toward the Russians. But having taken these initiatives, we've got to continue them. Now, what man do you want to have to do? Who can you best trust to deal with the Russians and to make the world safer? Who has the experience? That's the kind of a pitch I make to them. I think they can understand it. And they'll say, well, if we haven't done anything, then the opposition can come in and say, gee, it's time to have a new policy toward China. Or they can come in and say, it's time to have a new policy of arms control. See, we've already done it, and we know how. And so, what are you going to do? Put somebody else in who doesn't have the slightest idea as to how you start? See, I think this is the point.
You know, people particularly appreciate the fact that you know the Chinese leaders, and you know the Soviet leaders, and you've already talked with them, you've already negotiated with them, and they know you now, and you're just one heck of a long ways from where you were, and we're not sure it's going to work. So we're just one heck of a long ways from where, and this is not the time to stop.
Well, another point that you can make is a small point, that we're just having traveled a lot, knowing a lot of people has improved. Through the accident of history, through the fact that I was vice president for 8 years, and through the fact that when I was out of office for 8 years, I traveled a great deal on my own. I have traveled to more countries, and therefore know, on a personal basis, more world leaders than any man in the world today, of course, and more than any American. And that's not a lie, that's not an asset easily to be cast aside, because if you talk about the Chinese, the Russians, it's important to know what a guy like Chichester was thinking about and what makes him tick. It's important to know what can you Brazil. 20 years from now, it's going to have 200 million people. And all these things, you see, whether it's that, and it's Sahara in Indonesia, which has 150 million people, whether it's Tanaka in Japan, whom I've known for 15 years, even though he's just now become prime minister. You see, knowing these people, knowing how, it's like with the football season coming on, why do you put an experienced quarterback? I mean, he knows the weaknesses, he knows where to throw the passes, where not to throw. He knows where the quarterback is strong, where he's weak. And so it is in this game. You know, you do a little bit better. You're not sure that you can solve it around the world. I wouldn't get to the final where we say, oh, the world is totally safe. It never is. I'd be quite honest about it. It's a dangerous world. And in a dangerous world, you can't take a chance with inexperience. That's how I find, because it is a very dangerous world.
Do you think we can say that your trip to China was the thing that brought about, say, that the better relationship with North and South Korea and things like that?
I will simply say this. They are not related. I do not want to say, I don't think you should say that I say this, but I would simply go on and I'd say, look what has happened here. A trip to China took place. Then the relationship between North and South Korea have changed. Now look what has happened here. The situation in other parts of the world has changed. In other words, I take credit for it. But don't say that I claim it. But you should say it is significant to note that in every area of the world, the situation is better now than it was. Now, there's only one area where you can say probably that it isn't. And that's one thing you can't believe about. That's the India-Pakistan thing. But that's because India and Pakistan have hated each other since the time they were divided and will continue to. And there's much we can do about it. Nobody's too worried about that. Bangladesh, most of the Bangladesh is going to kind of chill.
They need the record out.
Sorry. Well, excuse me.
I just want to ask one question to you in a second. I found that a lot of governing young people really respect and like their own. And I personally do. But I found, and the big question I get from them is not, how do you feel about him, but how does the president feel about him?
Yeah.
Just keeping him on because he's the vice president. Can you give?
Yeah. Well, I think the thing to do is that this is something that you review, which I can't, because it would look like I'm attacking the other ball and also attacking the other. I handle it in a rather subtle way. I had a press conference here in the office the other day. I said it. They said, why do you keep that? I said, first, I have reasons to select him. And I said, those reasons have not changed. And I said, after watching him for 4 years, I have seen him when we've had to make some very tough decisions. And the real test of a man is, how does he react to tough decisions? For example, how did he react when we had to make the Cambodian decision? How did he react when we made the Maine decision? How did he react to the arms control thing where there was a great division there about something we didn't want to talk to the Russians about arms control? And Agnew, 20-to-1 advantage over the Soviet Union at that time. The missiles. I mean, there's no way. The Cuban decision that Kennedy made was a tough one. I mean, I own all that. Why, we were right down the Russians' throat. They wouldn't have dared done anything because we could have creamed them. But now, they made the decision. It was tough. That was tough because we were looking right across at the Russians. People. They didn't do anything because they wanted the summit. And so did we. But the main point about Agnew that I would make is that in the big decisions in which he has participated, I put it that way, because the vice president does not make decisions, he participates in. The president consults him along with him in national security. The president has observed that he's a man who's at his best when going his toughest, that he takes heat well, that he's a well-organized, competent man, and handling big things. And I would stay off of, because you said there are negatives that are involved, I would stay off of his running battle with the press. Let that sort of skip to the background. I mean, we know what the press is. I mean, mainly that's just, but I just stay off of that because that to many is a negative. I would also point out that this idea that Agnew was to catch young people is malarkey. He isn't. The difficulty is he really ought to do more. He ought to become a tour on side to do well. But I would say the thing that will impress young people about him is that, now let's be fair, I say. Let's look at Agnew. And let's see how he has stood up. He's been criticized, he's been ridiculed, he's been lied about, and he's always kept his dignity and his poise and great decisions have been made. He's been courageous and strong and supportive of President Wiley. That goes a long way.
Most young people that I talk to feel like he's not there for those decisions, so he's not showing any courage. He's just there to cut the press down and
yeah.
You.
The difficulty with that just so we can't delight him. We say who's there. But he is, because you can say he's a member of the National Security Council, and that is where all the great decisions are discussed. As we don't vote on them, understand? The president has to make them. The president asks everybody, and you find out which are the strong men, which are the weak men. The weak man will say, well, gee, do it a little work. The strong man will say, well, that's pretty true. Several strong man will say, well, I've thought this thing through, it's a tough decision, but I think we ought to do it. That's what it takes a lot of guts, because you see, he's putting his whole reputation on the line. Most men, I suppose this is true, never like to express an opinion, particularly in an office here, which may prove you're wrong. Most like to play it safe and like to say, well, gee, I mean, you know best, I don't know all that. So why do you call him in? But I vote usually in the cabinet, you can find 14 out of the 15. They will say, well, let me examine. This report, this report, I hope you bought them all. Of course, if I hadn't bought them all, I wouldn't be asking them. But nevertheless, and then now and then you'll find one that'll stand up and say, I think you ought to do it. And Agnew's that kind of a man. That's the point you should make. Okay, I just use the word guts. People like that too. That particularly younger you. So he's got guts. He's got, but also poise, judgment. In other words, let me just say, have you ever seen him unflappable? Have you ever seen him break down? Right? He's had plenty of reasons to. When they think of somebody in that chair having to make a tough decision, they want somebody who's, we can talk all we want about emotion and so forth. Churchill used to cry when he did Eisenhower. But Churchill didn't cry when he had to make the tough ones. You want a pretty cool guy in that chair. Well, anyway,
there's a great quote that you could, if you want to use. Let me see if I can find it over here. Did you read about a do you remember Mr. Dooley? Any of you, when you studied political science, Benny Peter Dunn's Mr. Dooley, Gilbert Dunn. You do, I'm sure. He's the great humorist of the latter part of the 19th century. I won't try to get this quote in the way that I remember that Alvin Barkley once told.
kind of a disgrace.
That must be the problem, the government side.
Well, we wish you the best, and appreciate your hard work. Well, do they all have a, you know, huge conference?
The news?
What are we gonna afford for you? What? After the convention, I will not, I'm not doing anything publicly in a political way to the convention for reasons that are political. That's the news to you, like that, where it works. He's calling. He's in the front.
Wow.
They're very arrogant, and I don't give them away.
Are you kidding?
They cost them.
Yeah, but the president of the United States, I don't think cost them away.
That's the White House, back, and to reproduction by a British artist. The river used to be much closer up, as the buildings are. Well, this is an interesting thing for you to see. This is a stupid, which Ambassador Annenberg designed and had it made by a group of people. It has a seal, it's planted in it.
Is that done for you or for the?
No, this is one of its kind. Well, that's probably very expensive.
Probably a couple.
Yeah, they because of what they are. And of course, this one is if I were to sell it, it would bring a great deal. This is Julie's crew that she gave me the mail in 1988. That's right. It says to our J. As I pointed out, she was what did they do, knitting it all during the election campaign in 68, so at least she and Congress were going to win. Well, have fun. Don't you go to any more of the junior chamber convention. Did I say I know those guys. Mueller started to tell me when they came in on the Watergate thing, what is their, what did you say they were about that national and so forth, how they thought they could handle that? Or did they go?
I'm not sure, but they, what I started to tell you is that new development, and Dwayne Andreas called Clark and said, I don't know who to talk to, so I want to talk to you. Said, first of all, I was the source of the $25,000. That is now under question.
Yeah.
I gave it to
Dollar.
Said, I've been thinking about it, and I'd be prepared to release a statement. And he read the statement to Clark. It would be to this effect, if you people want me to do it. He said, I didn't think about it. I don't know whether this is good or bad. But the statement says, I'm an independent. I've always been a political independent. I have supported candidates, primarily in the Democratic Party. I've been very close, particularly, and by a very major degree of support to Hubert Humphrey. However, in this election, I feel and have felt very strongly that it's absolutely imperative that the president be reelected. And I am supporting him for that reason. Consonant with that support, I made the contribution of $25,000 to the president's reelection campaign prior to the reporting date, because from my position, it obviously was not desirable to have my name on a campaign list because of my long association with Senator Humphrey and others. Something to that effect. And that benefit to us, not just because it cleans up this thing, which it may well do, but because it explains the $10 million. It, then you say, the reason he says we have no thought of doing that is for exactly the reason Mr. Andrews has pointed out.
Yeah, there are a lot of them.
There were some others like that.
He said, I naturally take a long time to be Democratic. I did not want to contribute before that time.
Because it was the law specifically provided for
us. The law provided for that. I did not want to disclose it. No, I knew I should have disclosed it.
Because of this question that's arisen about it, I feel I should have disclosed it. And of course, you could say because Senator Humphrey is now clearly out of it.
Yeah. I think it's very good to do that. I don't also want to get McGregor involved in this.
Oh, you wouldn't get McGregor involved?
No, what I mean is make a decision.
He's involved in the sense that Andreas knows him better than anybody else.
Well, I called him, so they're going to have
Carter called Earthman and me just right up the meeting this morning and said he'd need to see us right and told us that. And both John and I felt that it was probably a good idea for a political benefit.
We have not known that
well. There may be some negatives. But the problem is that it's quite likely under this GAO investigation that Andreas is going to come out anyway. If he is, we're infinitely better off to have him put out a statement before he is turned up than to let them turn him up and then have him have to explain. And then we can play back the fact that Duane Andreas and hundreds of other Democrats are supporting the president, as will become clear in this campaign. Many of them politically, others financially. Some of them openly, and some of them, for their very valid reasons, not openly.
Right.
Now we can tie that back to congressmen, senators, and other Democratic office holders. Make the point that many of them are supporting the president, privately, although they, of course, can't publicly declare. Just try to keep out these trust fires first step when we do the stupid GAO thing.
Well, I frankly think that they are. I still don't have that concern about it. It's all that kind of shit.
No, it's like you're basically right.
I'm just not going to do that because I think it's been rooted about. It's called a caper, it's called all that crap. Serious attempt, sinister, this attempt, the other thing.
I think if it comes to its worst and we have to, the whole thing gets out, I don't think it's all that well.
I just don't want to prove it involved.
I hope we can keep Magruder out, and we sure as hell got to keep Mitchell out. We could survive Magruder's involvement. We would have a real problem with Mitchell's involvement.
Okay.
And I think we're all free on that.
If Magruder hasn't testified yet, we don't know if you want to
have him mixed up.
Get him out of the way.
But he'll do all right on testimony. I was just thinking it might. But we don't put out a name list. If you have another campaign group, that might not be a bad idea to let Magruder sit in it. You did want him on the boat or something where names, where identity could come out. But if you had six or eight people in here, even one of them, not to get his name out, but just to look at, in a sense, sort of put your, not saying anything, but just so he doesn't feel he's ostracized. He knows that he is public,
well,
in a sense,
as far as I'm concerned.
The personal,
the
And I've got to check with John Dean, because he's determined whether...
See, I may be fascinated, I don't know, and just that I contributed the money. I did not want, I did it before they set up, because I did not want my name, since I was a supporter of Humphrey, to be out.
As was, I did it under the provisions of the law that permitted me to do it. Now, there was no attempt to circumvent the law. There was a desire to make it a private contribution. Law provided for that. Then you have the technical thing. If they're early, legally feels we have no problem on it, but the Hughes's view at the moment is that delivery to Dahlgren didn't constitute the making of the contribution, that it had to be turned to the committee. That seems to be a little absurd. If Dahlgren was the Midwest Financial
Committee,
he is the committee.
Sure.
And when you turn it over to an agent, what does that mean? You have every nickel has to be handed Morty Stans, or
I would. I'm just sorry, but you got Hughes in the ass.
The jail did.
I don't know. Somebody was that anxious.
I don't think they did. I didn't even know it was that. I saw Philip S. Hughes. I didn't know. I thought it was somebody else. Someone told me that's old Sam Hughes. I didn't know he was back in government, because we went through an elaborate thing to juggle his retirement date around to meet some technicality so that he'd get the right first years or whatever.
I was thinking about next week as to whether or not we ought to, I'm thinking now that the time is coming down on us for the convention, maybe taking a day off to go out there to Philadelphia or Wilkes-Barre to reword the candle.
May not be.
What I mean is it's probable that I ought to start serious work on my speech. I usually do for 2 weeks, and I just got to go down. I'm doing casual reading now, but you know, I sort of start. I was thinking I'd start then. Well, we've got Thursday, you might want to do that damn thing.
I
really think we realize it's not necessary. It's worth that time at this point.
You had a reason to do it when you had a Congress to shove on Monday. To go up and say, it's all fine.
The only other thing that we have next week, that is, I understand, the revenue sharing signing.
That we really should.
But that would be, that's a problem to me. And where would you want, would you have that whenever it goes down?
We didn't, yeah. That might be Thursday.
That would be very worthwhile.
We do it as quickly as we can.
That's a hell of an event. Hell of an event to publicize broadly. And, right? Because it is something. I guess the revenue sharing has really helped us with cities and county officials. That must be one thing that does help.
Well, it has, and it's, well, it's not an issue. It's an
accomplishment.
It's a good, it's, well, it's an accomplishment, and it's philosophically, it's a good talking point. It's a power to the people, and you know, if there's a, it sounds good.
What the hell are you talking about? It isn't a good issue at all.
It's true. But it's certainly, it's no negative.